The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. As we come to the end of Holy Week and the Sacred Triduum, it is my prayer that because of your participation in these sacred mysteries of Christ, you have been changed. It is possible to live your entire life in the church and do everything right, and as they say, pray, pay, and obey, and never realize what all of this is really about. No wonder people are leaving churches, not necessarily faith in Christ, though interestingly. People are leaving religions all across the world. The most common reason people give who drift away from an organized, community-based practice of faith, I have found, is that they feel they aren't getting anything. Ironically, it is because oftentimes we are not giving them what they really need and teaching them how truly empowered they are by their baptism and their participation in the liturgy and the life of the church. Your membership in the church is not determined by your degree of faithfulness. It might surprise you, we do have sinners in the church. The church exists because we are sinners, and our only hope of a remedy to sin is our relationship with God, which is formed and supported by a loving community who witnesses compassion and forgiveness and celebrates the mystery of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, which is our hope. So many voices speaking today demand either adherence or rejection. This is not the mind of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, by the way, became one of us while we were still sinners. Thank God his requirement was not perfection when he was considering whether or not to care enough for us to give up his life to become our paschal sacrifice. Please know that any witness you may encounter in your experience of the church, which excludes anyone, is not faithful to the Holy Spirit, whose purpose is to bind us together in love and form us into the body of Christ. His work is a work of transformation. He makes us a new creation. We start where we are, and we must follow a path that has no rest stops for judging, discriminating, or being abusive. We are a work in progress, all of us, for sure. God begins his work of recreating us where we are, but we must turn our lives over to him. I propose to you one reason why many people don't feel like they have a place in the church, like the experience people had of the church perhaps before Vatican II. Many are returning to an understanding of the church that is priest-centered. Pope Francis talks about this clericalism repeatedly as one of the major issues of our day. Before people would go to church to hear the priest say Mass. That was literally the language that was used, to go and hear the Mass. People are made to feel irrelevant, unengaged in a vital way. Does the church gather around the priest or around Christ? When individuals become the focus, we become factions. And then deep division and politics have crept into literally every aspect of our lives. Vatican II demanded, in place of such clericalism, the full, active, and conscious participation of all the faithful, not centered in the priest sacrament of holy orders, but rather on the baptism that we all share, the sacrament in which we are anointed to the common priesthood of the faithful. It is we, the baptized, who call into the present moment the saving mysteries of Christ. We who celebrate these mysteries for the salvation of the world. We celebrate these together. Yes, the priest has a particular special role as the one who presides as head of the body. But the head cannot exist without a body, nor a body without a head. What implications might this have for our community when the valid baptism we share extends beyond the walls of the Roman Catholic Church? What does that look like if we call upon the presence of Christ together? I believe if everyone in the church realized their importance, that we are all integral and needed. We are needed in this work of salvation, that we would realize we are not here to get anything at all, but to do and to give. And then, of course, we receive everything that God plans for us anyway. What Sunday is to the week, Easter is to the year. This is a basic teaching of our tradition. The Lord's Day cannot be contained in the usual 24 hours. It is bigger than normal time. Time is transformed. In the tradition of Judaism, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath on Saturday, begins at the sundown vigil, the Friday evening before. Easter Sunday, the mystery of the Lord's Passover, cannot be contained in a normal week and extends into an octave of 8 days. As we gather next Sunday for Mass, we will still be within the octave of Easter Sunday. Created time, Chronos, is transformed into Kairos, or that eternal moment in which God and all time is. We still celebrate the octave of Easter today through April 27th. In this transformation, the Jewish Sabbath is changed. Jewish Sabbath did not automatically become the Lord's Day. In created time, God worked on creation from the first moment of light over millennia, which was the first 6 days. When he finished his creation, his seventh day of rest began. Following the sin of Adam and Eve, the prophecy of a new order began, the foretelling of the mystery that we celebrate today. The Son of Man goes to work on the eighth day to accomplish the restoration, the renewal, the recreation of all. He is the first day of the week and the eighth day of the week, the Alpha and the Omega. All things begin in him, and in him are fulfilled. We are the people of this eighth day. Last night at the Easter Vigil Mass, we blessed this new font, which we are going to use for baptisms every week during the year. And if you notice, I designed it so that it has eight legs on the bottom. So that's that image of the eighth day, people of the eighth day. Ancient churches always built their baptistries, if they were separate structures, as octagonal buildings, because that eighth day is so important to who we are. Baptistries were also places very popular for the celebration of Christian funeral rites. This new eighth day is the eternal moment of God into which we are invited to live the life of grace as new creations. We lit the Easter candle last night, this Paschal candle. It is a symbol of our being away from Jesus, but his presence still with us. We will light this candle throughout all of the Easter season. And then at Pentecost, we will stop lighting it during Masses on Sunday. And the only times we will use it is at baptisms and at funerals, the times which mark the beginning of our time away from Jesus and our return to him. He is still present with us throughout. Paul Ricoeur wrote, "If the resurrection is resurrection from the dead, then all hope and freedom are in spite of death. We are alive with authentic life. Let us live then as people of hope and freedom and bring this to all who long for it or are prevented from knowing hope and freedom. This is why you cannot let today slip by without notice, without getting the message of why we are here at all. The God who loves us sinners has provided a remedy by which we become his new creation. For this reason, we gather today with the renewal of our baptismal promises at the heart of our celebration. So go forth from here now, risen, and live your baptismal call. The words of St. Paul to the people of Ephesus, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." Live so as to give witness to the holy work that God has already begun in you and called you to do, to become alive in his sacraments and go out into the world in service, to be literally the nourishment of his Son's body and blood, the Eucharist, for all those who hunger and desire for God, and who hunger and desire for our unity and our welcoming.